God be praised. It is Pentecost. 50 days ago, we rejoiced in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the beginning of the life of grace in holy baptism for all who are united to the Lord Jesus by faith, hope, and love. And now, on this great solemnity of Pentecost, even as we continue to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I regret to say there is bad news. Friends, the Catholic Church around the world is a shambles, and there is no obvious path forward to the Reformation we so desperately need. In too many places, including in Rome, liturgical, intellectual, and moral incoherence is the norm rather than the exception. And the Worldwide College of Bishops is a house divided against itself and so is incapable of leading the church to renewal. Many Catholics in Germany and elsewhere are but one step away from open schism and are being led there by bishops and priests who no longer believe and profess all that the Holy Catholic Church believes, teaches, and proclaims to be revealed by God, but who nonetheless remain in their offices. Around the world, decades of catastrophic moral failures by bishops and priests have been compounded by bad decisions from the bishops responsible for correcting those sins. And the ongoing surrender to the sexual revolution and the Great Awakening by many of those charged with teaching the gospel has brought the church to a pitiable state, as bad or worse than her condition at the time of the Protestant Reformation. 500 years ago, the Catholic Church was in very serious trouble, not least because ignorance, unbelief, false belief, venality, unchastity, and mendacity were chronic problems among the clergy at every level, starting with the papacy and the College of Cardinals, and extending through diocesan bishops down to parish priests. This is one of the many reasons why the Protestant Reformation swept through Northern Europe like wildfire, burning away much corruption, but also sadly destroying many of the gifts the Lord Jesus intends for his church to have always, gifts like the apostolic succession, the teaching office of the church, and the seven sacraments as the ordinary means of grace for all believers. And now, 500 years later, the Catholic Church is once again in very serious trouble, and for many of the same reasons. But the chaos is not found only among the clergy. Consider, the majority of baptized Catholics do not practice the Christian faith in any observable way. Most Catholics today do not keep the Lord's Day holy by celebrating Sunday Mass. Too many do not observe the marriage laws of God. Too many have made peace with abortion and contraception and are bathed in the toxic tide of pornography that pollutes everyone it touches. Too many have embraced a false kind of freedom that is really just slavery to our own disordered self-love. Too many base their lives on self-gratification rather than on the service of others and the gift of self. Too many live for money and make it the foundation of their personal and political lives. And too many lack meaning and purpose in their lives and so poison their bodies with drugs and alcohol, often first as a form of escape, but one that quickly leads to the slavery of addiction. In other words, among clergy and laity alike, there is a manifest deficit of holiness everywhere in the church. And so we are in need of a new Catholic Reformation in which the church will be reformed and purified by the fire of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's holy word to help all the baptized live in liberating friendship with the Lord Jesus. So there's the bad news. We are in a sorry state. But there is still always good news. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. On Easter Sunday, the risen Lord Jesus found his apostles in the upper room, the very place in which 3 days before he gave them the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood during his last Passover supper. But on the evening of Easter Sunday, the apostles were back in that upper room, not to sing God's praises. No, they were there to hide in fear, with the doors locked, in the vain hope of protecting themselves from sharing the same fate as their master. Then, as we read in the gospel today, the risen Lord passed through the locked doors of their fear and gave them a new gift of grace, the sacred power to forgive sins in the sacrament of penance. "Peace be with you," he said. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And breathing on them, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." Then for the next 40 days, Jesus continued to teach the apostles, appearing to them in Judea and Galilee, preparing them for their mission to the nations, and finally instructing them at his ascension to remain in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high, a promise which was fulfilled 10 days later on the Jewish festival of Pentecost, also called in Hebrew the Feast of Shavuot, a celebration which God commanded be kept each year 50 days after Passover to commemorate the gift of the law to Moses. And thus did the twin Jewish feasts of Passover and Pentecost become the twin pillars of Christian worship. Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, transformed the Passover supper of Israel into the Eucharist of the church. And 50 days after his resurrection, he sent the new law of love, the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire, purifying and transforming his disciples to bear witness to him to the ends of the earth and to the end of time, a witness made possible only by the forgiveness of sins and the strength that comes from the Lord by grace through faith, ordinarily given to us in the sacraments of the new covenant, most especially in the Holy Eucharist. 50 days after Christ's resurrection, Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims from all over the Mediterranean world and the Middle East because of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, and a multitude of languages could therefore be heard in the streets. But after the fire of the Spirit fell upon the church, and Simon Peter stood up to proclaim to the crowd that Jesus Christ is Lord, all the pilgrims heard him in their own tongue. This miracle of grace was both the symbolic end of the divisions in the human family, signaled by the Tower of Babel, and also the beginning of the church's mission to preach the gospel to every nation on earth. And so that mission to the nations continues 2,000 years later. But when the world finds chaos in the church, because so many Catholics, clergy and laity alike, no longer believe or live according to the gospel, then the church herself can become a stumbling block rather than be the sacrament of salvation for those to whom we are sent. And that is why the church is always in need of being reformed and purified, so that the holiness of God may be visible among his people and draw the nations to worship the living God in spirit and truth. And given how easily we return to our sins, if our holiness were the source of the church's holiness, then Christianity would have died in its crib. But God be praised, the church is not holy because we are holy. Just as the Lord Jesus is both God and man, so too his church is both human and divine. The human dimension of the church obviously comes from all the baptized who make up the body of Christ. But the soul of that body is God the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. It is God the Spirit who is the source of the church's holiness, and so our sins can never deprive the mystical body of Christ of the indwelling of the Spirit who was poured into the church as fire at Pentecost. Yes, the Catholic Church today is in very serious trouble because of doctrinal confusion, theological dissent, and the scandalous lack of holiness in so many of her members, starting with the ordained, starting with me. But this crisis of faith and holiness should never discourage us, let alone persuade us to walk away from Christ or try to found a church other than the one Christ gave us, the church which was born on the cross from his pierced side as blood and water flowed out to be the sacramental fountain of grace for the salvation of the world. Friends, if there is to be a new Catholic Reformation of the church, it cannot come from us. It can and will come only from God the Holy Spirit. Let each of us then make a decision today to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross and to live the truth of his gospel in the obedience of faith. And to find the strength to do that, we must lift up our hearts and minds to the throne of grace, beseeching the Lord for a new gift of the Spirit to burn away in us everything unclean, a new gift of the Spirit to purify and transform the church, a new gift of the Spirit to reveal to the world once again the goodness, truth, and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and his holy gospel. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Give us strength to the glory of God the Father to bear witness with our words and with our lives that Jesus Christ is Lord. God be praised. It is Pentecost, and the fire of the Holy Spirit is always made new in the church. For Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti. Alleluia. Alleluia.